What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and welcome to the show. Hope you guys are all doing well out there, getting ready for the Clemson game this Saturday. I'm just enjoying this fall weather. It's that nice time here in the Carolinas where, you know, that time of year in the South where you use the heat in the morning, and then you flip it to the air conditioner for the middle of the day, and then you flip it back to heat at nighttime. And, you know, my power bill might not love it, but I do. So I'm just enjoying this time of year. Got football on all the time. It's time to get outside, have some bonfires, and just I love this time of year. Fall is, to me, is the best, and hopefully this Saturday we can get back on track and get a win so we can be happy about Saturdays again. You know, this last one was just a little disappointing more than anything. And for this episode, it's not going to be that long. We're not going to go into a whole lot of details. I know you guys probably don't want to hear much more about the NC State loss. I really don't want to talk about it either, but I don't want to be a fair weather podcast. We got to talk about everything around here. So, you know, we'll just touch on some of those things, how the rest of your schedule fared, and then we will have I'm going to put out a Clemson preview for you guys probably tomorrow. I did get all like my notes and everything done. I just haven't got it out yet. Recorded, so be on the lookout for that tomorrow. But just, you know, we'll just give some quick thoughts on this game, and then we'll move on, and we'll bury NC State, because, you know, unfortunately, losses, they suck, but you got to talk about them too. So let's get to it. Florida State falls 19-17 on the road at NC State to go to 4-2 on the season. And I feel like this game was more, it's like when your parents used to tell you all the time, I'm more disappointed than you than I am mad. I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. I'm not mad at Florida State in this game. I'm just disappointed. Because realistically, when you look at Florida State as a program and your preseason projections and the things that they've done so far this season and where they're coming from, considering they're in the middle of a rebuild right now and they have some of the worst injury luck in all of college football, it seems like. I really didn't expect to find us up 17-3 at halftime. And it was a great feeling, because I honestly thought Florida State was about to run away with us, and I thought it was going to be a blowout. You had all the momentum in your favor. Fitzgerald had just hit a 47-yard field goal. Like, what is going on? Are we playing in some kind of alternate universe today? And then you just let it slip away in the second half because you played your second sloppy half of football in 2 weeks, and it cost you. And it was, you know, it's unfortunate to have to sit there and watch, because it was really hard to watch. It was really gut-wrenching to just watch a team lose a game that they should have won. And that was something that I said on Twitter afterwards was, you know, losses are 10 times more painful whenever you know the team should have won and they just didn't. Not like you got beat, because, you know, to be fair, when you look at the Wake Forest game, I think you showed up, you didn't play well, and you got beat by a better team. Wake Forest is a veteran team. They are at one of the best points in their program history, and that's the same with NC State. But the thing is, Florida State should be 5-1 right now. And realistically, if they're fully healthy, like full-on healthy, if you still had Bless Harris, if you still had Caden Lyles for depth, if you still had Fabian Lovin, all those guys, I think you're probably 6-0. But you should at least be 5-1. And so it's really disappointing, and it's disappointing to see the same mistakes, the same mental errors, the same frustrations, the penalties, and things like that come back for 2 weeks in a row. Because you don't want this to be something that's going to keep costing you games that you know you can win. And that, to me, is just disheartening. So, like I said, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty. We're not going to get into the details of it, because it's Tuesday by now. You guys have already probably listened to some breakdowns and everything like that. I just didn't get to do some instant I didn't do an instant reaction. It was already after midnight. I was not exactly excited about the ending of the game. I had, you know, I had a few beers by then, so I just didn't want to get on here and say anything crazy. But, you know, I'm not mad. Like I said, I'm not disheartened by this loss, because I still feel like it's a good team that can have a good season. And to be fair, I had this team predicted at 4-3 after next week. I had them winning the first four games, and then potentially, because we didn't know if Wake Forest was going to have Sam Hartman or not, I thought they would have won that game if he was out, but I had this team sitting at 4-3, so this is right where I expect, and you still have a chance to beat Clemson. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's going to be hard, you know. This is, I made the example earlier of, do you remember, like, Florida State has a chance to turn the things around. They had a chance to right the ship, is the analogy that I'm looking for, this week against Clemson. But that's like a few years ago. Remember when that cargo ship got stuck in the little canal there and they couldn't get it out forever and it backed everything up? Like, that's what it feels like turning the ship around against Clemson is. But it's not impossible. And if you can get a win this Saturday, you can wash away the last 2 weeks. But you cannot come out and play a game like you did in the second half of this or the first half of Wake Forest, or you will get beat. But, you know, again, Florida State is still early. You know, they're, well, I won't say early. They're past that now, I feel like. But they're, you know, at a midpoint in their rebuild, and you're now winning the games that you're supposed to. And now you should start taking some of the games that you weren't expected to win. And, you know, I know 17-3 feels like, well, you were supposed to win this game. And to be fair, I think fully healthy, Florida State's a better team than NC State. Fully healthy. But, I mean, they were top 15. They were at home. It was nighttime. It was the environment. They were favored. Like, Florida State was not technically supposed to win that game, but we all knew they had the ability to, and that's exactly what we saw. And then, you know, and then they kind of wet the bed and let it get away from them. So it's something that they have to clean up, they have to fix. And of course, there's a lot of blame going around right now. People want coaches fired and crazy things like that, which I don't agree with. I mean, obviously, I don't agree with every coaching decision, of course. You know, I don't understand why you can't throw it to your 6'7" wide receiver, even if he does drop it half the time. I don't understand why you throw fades to the shortest receiver you got versus a guy who almost nobody can cover. The only time he's not catching is when he drops it himself. I just don't understand that. I don't understand taking unnecessary risk at the end of games and not learning from your lessons. Like LSU, the pitch play, it worked earlier in the game, so they ran it again. I understand that. That's fine. Not in that situation. That was unnecessary risk. And then you look at this game, like, I understand the fade already worked for a touchdown to Michael Pittman. I get that. But this is the end of the game when you have a chance to go down there and potentially kick a game-winning field goal. I understand your kicker's not been great, but he already hit a 47-yarder, so maybe he has enough confidence to hit this. And to me, losing on a missed field goal, I know Norvell would have caught crap too for doing that, but it would have been a little more digestible of a loss than the way you went out. But throwing the pick there, to me, there's too much risk at the end of games. And the LSU, you were able to bail yourself out with a blocked extra point. You know, who knows what it would have happened if it had went to overtime. And this time you just weren't. This time you made a costly mistake that the clock ran out on you and you didn't have time to recover from. So to me, I don't agree with everything coaching. I will be wholeheartedly in agreement with that. But a lot of that too falls on the players. Like, they can call the best scheme, they can call the best game plan, but you still have to go out and execute it. Like, you can't just scheme up somebody wide open every single play. It's not going to happen. You have to go out and make plays. You have to go catch the ball. You have to block someone without holding them. You know, you have to, you know, Fuller's not telling his guys to penetrate the defensive line and then miss a tackle. You know, Dugans is not telling you to run this route and then drop the pass when it hits you in the hands. That's not, like, Mike Norvell can't make Jordan throw the right read. So it falls on everybody. And so there's blame to go around. And personally, I don't care whose fault it is. What I care about is the fact that it's everybody's responsibility to fix it. And so everybody needs to get to work to fix it. And that's the positive feeling. That's the thing that makes me feel positive, is that I feel like this team has the mentality that it is the past. It was mistakes. We beat ourselves, and we can fix this. And they're going to go back to work. And that's something Norvell echoed in his press conference. You know, he got fired up. He got a little emotional, which is the type of coach he is. But I think the mentality and the culture at Florida State has changed enough to where this team will now continue to fight, even though they had some losses. Because, you know, let's be realistic. I mean, these coaches and these players, they're not stupid. Of course, they want to win every game. They think they're going to win every game, or else why did you play? But for any of you that played football, and if you weren't on like that dominant team or whatever, whether it be high school or not, there was a few games where you knew it's going to be a long night. And so, you know, there was a few of those. I didn't play on a great high school team. So, you knew there was a few nights that it didn't matter whatever you did, you were going to get whipped. And it's not like this team's getting whipped, but I don't think they are going to be as hard on about, you know, or let me just say, they're not going to give up losing to two top 25 teams in a row. They're not going to give up if some things don't go right this Saturday against the number five team in the country. When you came to Florida State, you signed on to be part of a rebuild. And that's something that Jermaine Johnson even said, who's a first-round NFL draft pick and could have stayed at Georgia and won a national championship. Now, of course, he didn't know they were going to win that, but I'm sure he knew they were really good. But he said he wanted to be here and he wanted to be a part of this rebuild and he wanted to play for Mike Norvell. And that's kind of part of it. So, like, I don't think they're going to get down. I think they know they have a lot of goals in front of them. And I think they want to, you know, they want obviously want to challenge Clemson and try and win, which is, I think it's a good thing that they have a tough test. You know, now you can't necessarily come out and have a stinker kind of game against a team like Georgia Tech. Now you actually have a good opponent that you better be ready for, because I'm going to tell you right now, Clemson don't care about you sulking in your feelings. Clemson doesn't care about you licking your wounds. If you're not ready to play Saturday, they're going to whoop your butt. And so, to me, these guys got to get back to work and just get ready. So, that's all I really have to say on NC State. I just don't like the mistakes coming out 2 weeks in a row. I mean, we can run through just a couple of my notes real quick, just because I spent a lot of time taking them, so I hate to just pass them up. But like I said, I don't want to get into the details too much, because no one wants to hear about this no more. You know, I don't want to talk about it too much more. I hate losing. But too many penalties, 10 for 100 yards, very crucial ones too, 75 yards of penalties in the second half alone. And that's the thing. You knew coming into this game, NC State averaged, we talked about this in a preview if you listened, they averaged 20 offensive points a game against Power 5 teams. So you knew you were going to need to go up there on the road and score at least 24 to 28 points. 17 ain't cutting it. And so, like, you know, you knew that. You knew that. So, to me, this one's not necessarily on the defense. This one is more on the offense, which has kind of been the case 2 weeks in a row. I think defense did enough, considering they're down so many guys. Of course, you had a lot of the penalties, too. Like, I know the refs are bad, and ACC refs are absolute garbage. I will lead that charge. I will lead that parade. Like, I already live in Charlotte. They're moving the offices here. Like, whenever y'all want to get together and go pick it out front of the ACC offices, you let me know. I'll be there with you. I'll hand out the signs. But you can't use refs as an excuse either, because, like Dylan Gibbons' penalty, it's uncharacteristic of him, but it's unnecessary, and that was on him. A lot of the holding calls, like Turnitine, he's not turnstile Turnitine for nothing, and so, like, he's holding a lot. That's just things that are going to happen, and they're, unfortunately, they seem to get called for more than one side than the other. Verse was held almost the whole game, you know, and never really got called until late. Roughing the passer was a terrible call. It's a clean football hit. I'm sorry that Devin Leary got hurt, and I hope that he's not out for that long. However, you shouldn't be penalized for a clean hit on a quarterback because he got hurt. That's ridiculous. And Norvell even said in the press conference that they've sent multiple calls into the league, and they just get told, oh, yeah, you're right, but that doesn't do any good in the game. And so this is a chronic problem that's been happening in this conference, and it's something they need to address to get fixed, because this is why a lot of us, and you know, Florida State fans, primarily one out of this league, because you're just always getting screwed by the refs. And I mean, those are the type of things that can cost people jobs down the line. Those can affect careers. That has more of a ripple effect than just, oh, I'm sorry, we'll try and get it better next time. Yeah, no, man, you need to get it right the first time, because it influences a lot of things. So yeah, the refs are terrible, but that's not that can't be your excuse. Your excuse is you had 5 to 6 dropped crucial passes and you had too many penalties. And so, you know, you had a weird punt thing happened that could have been a awesome fake punt unintended for a first down, but you just make the mistake and you kick it a yard past the line of scrimmage, which, you know, again, to be fair, I have to be honest, like, I know we're probably all at home yelling, you idiot, you see the line right there? Like, they don't have those lines, so they don't know. And he's trying to read the pressure and know where the line of scrimmage is, but at that point, you just got to know your surroundings and you got to be a little more aware and know whether you need to take off or you're past the line of scrimmage and it's too late to punt anyway. So, but you know, how often do those things happen? And that's what stinks about this game, is you just saw some uncharacteristic things happen. How often does Dylan Gibbons get a personal foul penalty like that. You know, how often does Florida State get shut out in a second half or in a half period? And so, yeah, I mean, it's just one of them where it's like it's just some uncharacteristic things that keep creeping their way back in. But it's now 2 weeks in a row, so it does get a little concerning. But you know, you had all the momentum. It felt like it was going to be a blowout. And then you come out in the second half. This is the second week in a row that they've given up an ugly touchdown drive right out of the second half where the defense just kind of looks lost and has no answers. And then turn around, you get a three and out with a penalty that killed your drive, and you lost all the momentum. Their sideline woke up, their crowd woke up, and you just knew from there. Like, I know I was watching thinking, man, here comes the meltdown, you know, and here it comes. And it just kept going for 30 more minutes, and it was hard to watch. But like I said, this is still you see some positive out of these. It's not all negative. You know, you still had some nice things. You saw Robert Scott come back in this game, and he played a good game, which was nice to see, which you really need him back before Clemson. When you look at Jordan, he hasn't looked as comfortable. He hasn't looked like he's been having as much fun, but we saw him use his legs. He had over 100 rushing yards. That was nice to see. And then you also see, when you look at his adjusted completion percentage, which is a little more advanced at, which accounts for drops and throwaways, it would have been 65.4%. Now, I don't know about the yardage, but it would have been obviously a lot better than what it was, and he would have had another touchdown. You probably would have won the game. It was just so many drop passes, and I understand his frustration. I do, but, and that's the thing is, you have some situations where these things can be cleaned up. They can be coached around. The coaching can improve. The players can improve. They can catch the ball. They can stop doing so many dumb penalties, keep your composure and stuff like that. You know, but there are some positions where you're just getting thin and you're getting beat physically. And those are going to be hard things to overcome, especially this week, because a lot of it, unfortunately, is in the line, is in the trenches, in the line of scrimmage. That's where a lot of your injuries, and that's where a lot of you're having to play guys that weren't part of your preseason plan. You know, but again, like I said, you have some good things to see in this game with four runs over 20 yards in the first half. Like I said, Robert Scott came back, and you were doing this against a really good defense too. I think that's something that has to be given credit is NC State's defense. They really are a legit college football defense. They're hard to move the ball on. They're good at run blitzing. They're good at getting pressure. You know, they blew through the line of scrimmage a few times and blew plays up in the backfield. They are hard to block. They're a good defense. That's why they're top 20. So, you know, defense and ranking. So, like, you have to understand that it was going to be a challenge to begin with. You know, like I said, you're limited at some of your positions. But, again, you just had some really huge drops. And, you know, looking at your receivers for the night, they were 10 catches on 22 targets with 5 to 6 drops. That's just not going to get it done. And so, you know, just moving over to the defense, you lost Robert Cooper in the first half. You lost Jarrett Jackson in the third quarter, or Robert Cooper's in the first quarter, should I say. Jarrett Jackson in the third quarter. But there was still some good and some bad from the defense. I thought a lot of good. Like I said, you held NC State to the fewest points this season, which, you know, I know if Leary was back, maybe not. But and it was only by 1 point, so I guess, hey, whatever you got to do to make that sound better. But still, I mean, you held Leary in the first half. He was 5 of 14 for 75 yards and a pick. Now, granted, he came out the second half and went 4 for 4 for 51 yards and a touchdown. But you saw a lot of things that you were happy with in the first half. They only allowed 135 passing yards in the entire game. Of course, you understand that Leary being out helps that. When their backup comes in, they won't even let him throw a pass. But, I mean, he only had 75 yards in the first half, so it's not like, you know, and he already had played some of the third quarter. So it's not like, you know, he was going to light you up for 300 yards. And I think you see Josh Farmer and Patrick Payton are coming on as really nice young players. I think Patrick Payton is going to be somebody special in a few years. And Josh Farmer's, I mean, he continues to flash. Like, they're young guys. And they're having really great games. And then on the flip side of that, you have Leonard Warner make an appearance. Like, he's as old as I am, you know, that he's probably got a mortgage by now, and he's out there making plays. So, like, that was really nice to see him step up and have a nice game, because when you have this many injuries, this is what you need. You need guys to step up in their place, because right now you're just having to rely on whoever's willing to step up, because you're down so many guys. And that's another thing that I looked at too, was Florida State has some talented young players that I'm excited about in the future. Unfortunately, right now, they're having to rely on them due to injuries, and that was something that we talked about in the preseason. When we named a lot of these younger guys, they were like, okay, well, these could be guys to watch out for in the future, but these aren't guys you want to have to rely on this year. And unfortunately, that's where we find ourselves right now. So out of 73 snaps that the defense had to play, according to PFF, you had Azaria Thomas, who was out there, a true freshman, for 25 snaps. You had Shaheem Brown, who's a redshirt freshman, out there for 25 snaps. Patrick Payton, who's a redshirt freshman, out there for 34 snaps. Kevin Knowles, who's a true sophomore. Now, I know he has a year of experience, but it wasn't a full year. He didn't take over starting till the later part of the year. He's a true sophomore. He's still learning. 56 snaps. Omarion Cooper, same situation. Took over later in the season, still learning, still getting, you know, still has to learn the game. He doesn't even have a full year of experience. And he's a true sophomore, 44 snaps. Josh Farmer, redshirt freshman, 32 snaps. So, like I said, you can see where it's just so many young guys being forced into action, so many starters that are out with injury, that it's hard. You know, I understand, like we talked about last episode, it's not an excuse, but it does move the needle of expectations when you don't have half your impact players. So, I mean, just looking at some what the defense was still able to do, they still held them to 2 of 13 on third down, which was only 14%. They were only 33% in the red zone, and it was pretty much all field goals. They only averaged 5.3 yards per play. Florida State averaged 7.36. Florida State outgained NC State by 80 yards in that game. You had Florida State defense got a lot of crucial stops, or at least held them to field goals whenever they really needed it the most. And holding NC State to 19 points at home should have won the game. And so, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they held them to a field goal late in the fourth to give them a chance to go win it, and they throw a bad interception the next play. Then defense goes out and gets another stop, and FSU drives down and throws another pick. So, like, I mean, the defense is not always pretty, but considering how many young guys they're playing, they're still doing pretty good. I know a good portion that I watched in the third quarter, you had Patrick Payton at defensive end, and you had Josh Farmer at defensive tackle and Azaria Thomas out at corner on the same side of the field. So you have three freshmen on the field, manning, basically holding down the whole left side of the field here with three freshmen. I mean, what do you, you know, what, there's only so much you can expect. And, you know, at least you're seeing that the freshmen that you are seeing are playing good and flashing in most instances. So it does make you feel good about the future. So, you know, like I said, you can't give up that ugly first drive to open the second half. You gave up over 300 yards to NC State, which they hadn't done to a Power 5 team this year. And really, your Achilles heel right now is the inability to stop the run for Florida State. In that game, NC State had 45 total runs. And for runs of 2 yards or less, that was 14 of their runs, which was 31%. For runs of 4 yards or more, was 60%. So 60% of the runs, 27 runs went for 4 yards or more. They gave up 196 yards rushing, not counting sacks, which was a season high for NC State against FBS teams. And then that's a concerning trend of mine is that Florida State keeps giving up like season high rush totals week after week. And it was the same with Wake Forest. It was the same with Boston College. It was the same with NC State. And then you look at next week, I mean, Clemson held this team to 34 yards rushing, and you gave up almost 200. Like, that's a concern. So you need some guys back. That's really ultimately all this really comes down to. So, you know, I know kicking has to get better. It did influence the game. There was obviously one point where they could have kicked a field goal. I don't blame Norvell for going for it because it was fourth and three, and that was favorable. But it does affect the game. I mean, whether you like to admit it or not, it does affect the game because they treat situations different, and you left some points out on the field for it because you did not convert that, whereas that could have been the game-winning field goal. But there's no guarantee they would have made it. Now, just wrapping up on this, I will say that trick punt was one of the coolest, smartest things I've ever seen in football. That was amazing to even draw that up. And they lured the entire defense to that one side of the field. And they got me. They fooled me too. So that was amazing. That was really cool to see. But yeah, guys, I mean, at the end, just to kind of overall just put a bow on this, dig a hole and bury this stupid NC State game. I hate playing in Raleigh. I just don't like that program in general because they're always that one that seems, you know, to just be that thorn in our side. And but it's just, you know, you got to clean your play up. That's really what it comes down to. And next week, if you don't, you're going to get beat by more than probably 2 points because Clemson is a better team than NC State. So clean up the penalties, clean up the drops, and you'll be fine. And you just really hope for some positive injury news because now you don't know if Robert Cooper's coming back. You probably don't have Trayshawn Ward this week. You know, you still have Robert Scott back, which is nice. But who knows if Fabian Lovett's going to be back. And maybe if they're on the fence, maybe they move that timeline up a week or so just to kind of help get him back because you're down so many people. But I feel like Florida State can beat Clemson because of the way that their pass defense is not that great. I mean, Clemson is currently fourth in the country, coming off a 31-3 win at Boston College. That was only 10-3 at half. Now, those red bandana games, if you've been a Florida State fan for long enough, you understand. Look. Shout out to Wells Crowder and the BC community, and it's an amazing thing they do. But man, if you don't come to play for them red bandana games, it's not going to end well for you. So look, that one was close at half, but Clemson did pull off late. But again, they held BC to 34 rushing yards, the same as they did NC State last game. And Florida State gave up, I think it was 90-something to Boston College, and almost 200 to NC State. So you're going to have to get some guys back. I mean, if you now you're down your best back, you're down your two best defensive tackles, and if you don't get some of those guys back, it's going to be tough. And that's just all there is to it because Clemson is decent in the trenches on offense, and they're very good in the trenches on defense. So, of course, I want them to come out and play a clean game, but really, I mean, I'm just looking for some injury news this week. I really, like, if they can get Fabian Lovett back, if Jarrett Jackson was not anything severe, and I say he was injured, he went off the field and he didn't come back, but it was late in the game. So, which you also saw McClendon went down late in the fourth, too. Now, he didn't have enough time to come back, so I think it was like on one of the last drives. But if you can get McClendon back, if he's okay, if Jarrett Jackson is okay, you may not see Robert Cooper this week. But if you do, if you can get Fabian Lovett back, then I feel good about your chances here because, I mean, Shipley only had 3.3 yards a carry against Boston College. So, their offense still has some struggles. DJ is still inconsistent at times. But they have another top 25 defense that you have to face, and they are legit against the run. Now, you have some opportunities in the pass game, but now you got to run on them down your best back. And you know, you have a liability at right tackle. So, it's going to be a challenge, but I do feel like Florida State has an opportunity to win this game because, let's face it, Clemson just hasn't been all that impressive this year. Now, unfortunately, I think that the last few weeks they have kind of found their stride, whereas Florida State has been regressing a little bit. So it's going to be a challenge, but I'm going to record the full game preview for you guys tomorrow, and then we're going to talk about it, and you know, we're going to break this thing down and see where Florida State stands and if they have, you know, how good of a shot they have in this game. I mean, this is really going to be one of the first true road tests for Clemson. I mean, Boston College is not exactly a daunting environment. And Wake Forest, I think there's more Clemson fans there than Wake Forest fans. So you get Doak, you get the student sections already sold out. It's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking. I know people are still, you know, bullish on this team like I am. I know they still think that this is a fun team to watch and they can do some things this season. So it's going to be a challenge for Clemson themselves. I mean, all the pressure is on them now. Florida State's 4-2. They're not in control of the Atlantic anymore, you know, with losing two ACC Atlantic games in a row. So all the pressure is on Clemson, and they could sure come down here and have a bad game. So it would be something to see. It would be an awesome sight. And, you know, I just don't want to sound negative about any of this, but it was an ugly game, and it's a disappointing loss. So we're just going to bury it here and just leave NC State in the past. Like I said, I just didn't want to not address anything. But I'm still bullish on this team. Like I said, I'm still positive. I still think they can get to 7-8 wins. I just really think right now you have got to get some guys back from injury because this is just becoming unreal. And, you know, some people wanted to pile on the strength and coach staff or strength and conditioning staff and all that stuff. Like, man, you can't work out enough to stop a 180-pound or a 200-pound linebacker or corner or whatever from falling on you in the open field like what happened to Trayshon Ward. You can't work out enough to not have someone, you know, your knee bend backwards or get a helmet to the side of your knee to that not impact you. That's not them. It's not the way they're training. It's just stupid. You know, it's just bad luck. Like, there's really no other way to say it. It's just unfortunate. And it just all seems to be happening to us, unfortunately, during a season where you feel like if you had avoided the injuries, you really could have put something special together. But, you know, that's life and that's football. And sometimes it shakes out that way. And, you know, that's why Florida State has to continue to work, continue to win, continue to get momentum on the field so they can recruit and build better depth. So that way, if this happens, you have some guys that can step in and fill the roles successfully. And to be honest, a lot of the guys that we've seen fill in, they've been fine. They've been good. And they have a lot better depth and are in a lot better position than they would have been last year. They just, some of them, that, you know, are still a little bit of a liability or still inexperienced or still young, and they're fine against, you know, the Boston Colleges and the Louisvilles. But when you face a top 25, a top 15 team that has a top 20 defense and things like that, it poses a lot greater challenge. So, you know, they're just kind of, they're doing what they can with what they have, but they're sure not doing themselves any favors with sloppy play. So hopefully that gets cleaned up this week, because again, like we talked about, Clemson, you know, they don't care about your excuses. If you don't come in ready to play, they're just going to beat you and go back on about their business. So I look forward to doing the preview for you guys tomorrow. I know this one was kind of a little bit of a kind of a Debbie Downer podcast. I really hated to even do it, but I didn't want to skip out completely. But we'll be back, and I'll bring a little more energy and a little more excitement about Clemson. Unfortunately, I just got off work from a 12-hour shift, and I got to go back to work, so I got to go to sleep here in just a second. I'm already burning daylight. And it's just talking about a loss. It's just not an enjoyable thing to do. But like I said, I don't want to be a fair weather podcast. But coming up this week, you have another big game, a big atmosphere, and a big opportunity. And so I'm hoping Florida State can turn things around and just kind of restore some order to the Atlantic and start down the road to taking this conference back. Because, I mean, you know, who is Clemson? What the heck is a Dabo anyway? So right the ship, Knowles. Let's get it together this week. Let's get a big win. We're long overdue. And so I'm just ready. I'm ready to see him get back to work and hopefully take care of business this Saturday night in a packed Dope Camel Stadium. Appreciate you guys listening. Thanks for your support, and we'll catch you on the other side. Go Noles.